Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to the GNSO Next Generation Registration Directory Services RDS Policy Development Process Working Group call on the 2nd of February 2016. In the interest of time today, there will be no roll call, as we have quite a few participants. Attendance will be taken by the Adobe Connect room. So if you are only on the audio bridge, could you please let yourselves be known now?
Rob Ross, this is audio only.
Susan Prosser, audio only.
Thank you. Hearing no more names, I would like to remind you all to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes, and to please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. With this, I'd like to hand it over to Marika. Please begin.
Thank you very much, Terry. Hello, everyone. This is Marika Konings from ICANN staff. I'll be your host for today, as Susan is on vacation and has asked that staff run this meeting, as it's mainly focused on the tutorial, and she will be back next week to take up where we left off. Hello? Ram, I see your hand is raised. You want to speak?
Hello?
Yes, hello? Who is speaking?
Oh, sorry. Bram, Adobe Connect.
Yes, hello, Bram. Is there an intervention you would like to make at this stage, or you just want to make known that you're on the call?
Just to make the notice that I'm on the call. Thank you so much.
Okay, great, thank you. We'll note everyone that is in the Adobe Connect, so no worries about that.
Hello?
Yes, hi, who's speaking?
Hello?
Yes, hello?
It's Karnika Seth. I wanted to check, is this also a webcam call? I mean, are we able to see each other, or is it only an audio?
There's also an Adobe Connect room, so there you will be able to see all the people that are logged into the Adobe Connect room, and will take note of the attendance, which will be circulated after the call. Does that answer your question?
Okay, thank you. That's all right. Thank you so much.
Thanks. So before we dive into the substance of the meeting, there's just some housekeeping items I would like to cover. As already noted at the start of the meeting, it's going to be the practice for this working group, as we have such a large number of members, that we will take the roll call from everyone that's in Adobe Connect and take note of people that are on audio only. I would like to remind everyone to complete or update your statements of interest. It is a requirement for your participation in this working group. If you do not comply with that requirement, despite several reminders that will have been sent to you by the GNSO Secretariat, and we will eventually downgrade you to the status of observer, which means that you will receive all the emails, but you will not be able to post or participate in the calls. However, as soon as you complete your statement of interest, your status as member will be reinstated. So again, please update your statement of interest. And if you need any help in doing so, feel free to contact the GNSO Secretariat, and they'll help you with any login issues you may have. Michaela? So you've raised your hand?
I believe that somebody else has their hand up before me.
I'm presuming that may be an old hand, because Bram just spoke. Bram, if that's an old hand, can you please lower it?
While they're working on that. Now, just as the other thing, with respect to the SOIs, might be worth mentioning, I know from looking at some of them that some people are claiming to be members of stakeholder groups and constituencies of which they are not a member. Now, I know the GNSO Secretariat isn't going to police those, but, for example, with the Registrar Stakeholder Group, I do police them. And if you claim that you are a member of the Registrar Stakeholder Group and you are not, we will get the GNSO Secretariat to update your SOI to reflect that. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Michaela. And it may be also worth then to remind everyone, when we ask indeed for affiliation and membership, it basically refers to if you are a member of a certain stakeholder group or constituency, and not necessarily if you align with their views or you consider yourself aligned with their perspectives, but really if you indeed are a member, as Michaela noted. And it's something we'll hope to make further clear as well when we send out the forms for sign up, because we've noticed as well that it can be maybe confusing when we ask about affiliation, and maybe we need to be more specific in that regard. And thank you, Michaela, for as well helping us with making sure that statements of interest are correct. Which brings me as well to the second point, a reminder to the working group to review the membership list and the affiliations that are included there. You see the latest version on the screen here. I think we're currently at 134 members and 90 observers. So if you note that any of the affiliations here are incorrectly listed, please let the GNSO Secretariat know. Also, please have a look through this list and see whether, from your perspective, there are any groups that are either underrepresented or not represented. We anticipate that one of the items for the next meeting will be to review the overall membership and participation to make a determination of whether additional outreach should be conducted to make sure that the required expertise and perspectives are represented in this working group. Also wanted to remind you that we still have an open call for volunteers with regards to those interested in participating in the leadership team. As we discussed during the last meeting, that is an item that is expected to be addressed during next week's meeting. Several of you have already come forward and would like to thank you all for doing so. As we've suggested, staff is working on two polls, one of which we hope to launch later today, that will ask for working group members' input on the characteristics of the leadership team. And later in the week, we hope then to launch a poll that will ask you to endorse those candidates that you think meet the requirements to fill a position on that leadership team. So you're strongly encouraged, if you still are on the fence and considering volunteering, to do so at the latest by Thursday, because we anticipate that we'll launch the poll at the latest by Friday. So hopefully those two pieces of information will give the working group sufficient information to make a decision with regards to the leadership team. And I've noticed as well that just prior to this meeting, some additional suggestions have been made. And of course, we want to encourage you all to continue that conversation on the mailing list. One last thing I wanted to mention is that just prior to this meeting, a newcomer webinar has been held, which provided a briefing on the GNSO policy development process in general. So for any of you, of those that weren't able to attend, and I know that several of you did, and I hope you thought it was helpful, we'll share the information in relation to the recording as well as the presentation that was used with the list, as it may be of interest for those of you that are new to the policy development process and may be interested to learn about this. That's all the reminders I wanted to note as part of the welcome and introduction. I'm not seeing any hands, although, Bram, I still see your hand is up. Is this a new hand or need some assistance in lowering your old hand?
Sorry, forgotten to lower it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. So then, we're moving on to item two of our meeting today. As we discussed during the last meeting, it might be helpful, it was thought helpful for staff to put together a kind of beginner's tutorial providing an overview of some of the basic information that is expected to be covered and known in regards to this policy development process. And can I maybe remind you to all mute your microphones, as there's a bit of an echo on the line. So staff has done so, and we've put together this slide deck, which it's really intended to be an introduction and help everyone on their way in finding your way around the different materials that are available in relation to this policy development process. So basically what we've done is we've broken the presentation down into six different segments. First of all, we'll look at how we got here. Secondly, we'll look at what is, who is. Then we'll briefly cover some of the past efforts that have tried to address concerns about who is, which will then be followed by an overview of the Next Generation Registration Directory Services, or NextGen RDS. And after that, we'll take another look at the questions that this policy development process is expected to address. And we'll end with some guidance on where you can find further information if you want to find out more details concerning the topics that we'll cover during today's briefing. As I said, the tutorial is really intended to be a starting point. So if it becomes clear in the course of the working group's deliberations that more in-depth briefings are needed on certain subjects, staff is, of course, more than willing to work with you to prepare these and make sure all the information is available as necessary. In order not to bore you too much with my voice or someone else's voice, we've actually divided the presentation up between myself, Lisa Pfeiffer, and Steve Shang, who is one of our colleagues that is supporting the ASAC. And I thank him very much for joining us today. I would like to propose that we pause briefly after each section, but purely for clarifying questions, and that we leave the broader questions for the end of the presentation, as we've set aside specific time to look at questions and answers that may go beyond some of the specific topics covered here. Of course, you should also feel free to type any questions you may have in the chat, and I'm sure one of us or one of your fellow working group members will try to provide you with an answer. So having said that, let's move on to the first section, which will look at why are we here today. So as the title of the slides already indicates, this PDP was basically launched to overcome the deadlock that the community felt it was in after many years of hard work trying to come up with consensus recommendations to address the many issues that have been identified with WHOIS. It's probably important to remember that WHOIS was originally created back in the 80s as a mechanism to identify and contact those responsible for the operation of internet network resources when there were only a handful of people that were involved. In comparison, we now have over 160 million domain name registrations in the gTLD space. However, the growth was not accompanied by any substantial changes to the WHOIS protocol, despite nearly 15 years of task forces, working groups, and studies. So as a result, the ICANN board decided to request an issue report on the next generation RDS, and in parallel, tasked the expert working group to look at this issue so that its finding could inform the policy development process that we're currently in. Apologies. So the expert working group, or EWG, as it's also being referred to, was asked to take a clean slate approach and basically start with redefining the purpose of gTLD registration data, which would then help inform the development of a proposed new model for gTLD registration directory services, which would, amongst others, address questions related to accuracy, privacy, and access. So after the EWG submitted its final report to the ICANN board, which it took 15 months of intense discussions to deliver, the board reaffirmed its request for this policy development process. As it realized that this would be a complex undertaking, the board and the GNSO got together to develop a process framework, which is intended to provide a proposed structure for the PDP, taking into account the complexity as well as the interlinkage between the different elements that are expected to be considered. Following the completion of the process framework and the board's reconfirmation of the request for an issue report, staff produced a new preliminary issue report for public comment. This issue report is intended to include all the information that is relevant to this PDP, and it also detailed the questions that are expected to be addressed as part of this policy development process. The issue report also included a PDP working charter, which basically is built on the process framework and the content of the final issue report. And following the submission of the final issue report, the GNSO Council then adopted the charter, and a call for volunteers was launched in early January of this year. And here we are today. So for the next segment, I'll hand over to my colleague, Steve Shang, who will talk to you about what is who is.
Thank you, Marika, and greetings to all. My name is Steve Shang. I'm a policy staff supporting the Security and Stability Advisory Committee. In my capacity as a staff, I also participated in the IETF efforts to define a replacement protocol. So the topic here is what is who is? Well, who is a overloaded term. It could mean several things. Sometimes people refer who is as the registration data that registrants submit when they register the domain name to registrars and then published in the registrar or registry who is server, directory service. Others use who is, they refer who is as the access protocol, which is the latest version of that protocol is RFC 3912 that was specified. That specified the query, the client and server query interaction on how to get these registration data displayed. And finally, some people refer to Whois as the directory service, which implements the access protocol along with policies for the directory service to serve the registration data. So I think when we start talking about Whois, it's important to understand exactly what we are talking about. Are we talking about the data? Are we talking about a protocol? Or are we talking about the directory service? Now, just a bit more on the protocol and policy itself. Whois was defined in 1982 by IETF. So it was a simple directory service for allowing the ARPANET, which is the predecessor of the Internet, users to be able to find the contact information for the person operating an ARPANET host. At that time there was a relatively closed community. Anyone from the ARPANET can request any information. As Marika mentioned, as internet grow, the Whois begins to serve the needs of different stakeholders, such as registrants, law enforcement, intellectual property, trademark owners, business and individual users. So each of these find usefulness in obtaining the registration data of a domain name for a variety of purposes. The protocol itself has largely remained unchanged. The IETF has embarked in the past several efforts to replace Whois. Those efforts have seen little adoption. Lately, in last year, in 2016, the IETF did another try for the RDAP, which is called the Registration Data Access Protocol, which is much more promising as a replacement for the protocol itself. Now, I just want to clarify, it was a replacement just for the protocol itself, the underlying technology, but the policies regarding data and the directory service, those, as Marika mentioned, still needs to be addressed and by this PDP working group. In terms of ICANN's commitments, ICANN is committed to enforce its existing policy relating to Whois, subject to applicable laws. These policies require that ICANN implement measures to maintain timely, unrestricted, and public access to accurate and complete WHOIS information. That it was specified in the affirmation of commitments, which is a set of founding documents guiding ICANN. Now, technically, how WHOIS works is fairly simple. This graph depicts a regular the client server protocol as defined in RFC 3912. Essentially, the client queries the WHOIS interface on the server. The service could be operated by a registrar or registry, and they open up the port 43 and then make a query. The server responds by looking into its data store, the registration data, and then display back to the client, at which point the connection is closed. The registrars or registries also implement something called a web-based WHOIS, where mostly implemented is a user could go onto the registry or registrar WHOIS website and type in the domain name and also maybe other information, and then the information is returned via a web interface. Now, who runs WHOIS? This is a simple diagram depicting the various players here. WHOIS servers are run by registrars and registries for the domain names that they are sponsoring. Registrant, when they register via either by themselves to the registrars or via resellers to the registrars, submit the registration information. Registrars keep that part of that information. In some instances, it would provide a copy of that to the registry operator, and then both registrars and registries show some WHOIS information, depending whether it's thick WHOIS or thin WHOIS. This is an example to show what registration data is in the WHOIS service. These includes, for GTLDs, these includes the registrant contact information, the administrative contact, and the technical contact. It also includes information about who the registrar is, the registrar name, and its IANA ID, and the abuse contact information for the registrar. Finally, it also includes a set of statuses for the domain names. These statuses are really important, although mostly kind of used by registrars and registrars to signify the status of the domain names. They are actually very useful to know what the status of the domain name is. So that's kind of a roughly a very high-level overview of, what is WHOIS, the history behind the protocol, how the protocol works, and what data information is in the WHOIS. Now, in terms of the policies, the WHOIS policy recommendations are created and refined by the ICANN community through the supporting organization and influenced by advisory committees, mostly in a multi-stakeholder bottom-up process. Here is a list of the WHOIS policies that we currently have. So, for example, we have a WHOIS data reminder policy that requires the registrars to annually present to the registrar the WHOIS information and remind them, that, if a registrar were to provide false WHOIS information, that can be grounds for cancellation of their domain names. So it's a kind of a annual reminder policy. If you're a registrant of domain names, I'm sure you have received some of these reminders from your registrars. We also have the restore name accuracy policy. This refers to when a registrar restores a name that has been deleted, you know, on the basis of submission of false contact data or, you know, non-response to registrar inquiries. The policy specified the name must be placed on registrar hold status until the registrant has provided its update and accurate WHOIS information. You know, going down the list of the policies, marketing restriction, you know, it's a consensus policy that results changes to the registrar agreement, essentially, you know, putting place clauses that registrar's access agreement require third party to agree not to use data to allow, enable otherwise for marketing activities. These policies, these consensus policies are applied to generic top-level domains, the gTLDs. Within the ccTLD space, there's their policy-making process is different, and it's up to each registry, you know, what kinds of policy they implement, you know, regarding data reminder, you know, whether, you know, the WHOIS can be, WHOIS data can be used for marketing purposes. It is, it, they have a much varied practice there. I think, having said that, I think although the ccTLD shows a variety of practices, some of those are, you know, extremely good practices that can, that are valuable to the generic top-level domains. So I wouldn't bore you with all these, you know, policies, but as you have seen, a lot of efforts have put in the past for WHOIS policies and implementations. So with that, that concludes my short introduction. Any questions? Or Marika, should we take some questions or should we wait to the end?
Thanks, Steve. If there are any clarifying questions, anything that, you know, you didn't understand or you have questions about specifically what Steve presented, please ask those now, and maybe some of the broader questions we'll keep to the end.
Thank you.
I'm not seeing any hands, though. There you go. Michaela, go ahead.
Yeah, just reference people to have a look at the chat, because I mentioned it and you provided links to it. I mean, the issue around local laws, you provided a link to the IAG WHOIS conflicts, and the entire thing around the local laws is something which I think we can all agree to disagree on quite actively at the moment. Thanks.
Thank you, Michaela. Noted.
Not seeing any further hands, we'll then move on to the next segment of this presentation, which focuses on some of the past efforts that have tried to address concerns in relation to WHOIS. As many of you are undoubtedly aware, that there are many different issues that have been identified in the course of the years, starting with, you know, what is the purpose of collecting and displaying gTLD registration information, questions in relation to the accuracy of this data, concerns about the data privacy and security, the availability of the data, cost involved with potential changes to the system, concerns about IP and identity theft, just to name a few. As a result of these concerns, numerous initiatives have been launched over the years to try and address these issues and come up with consensus recommendations. But WHOIS has proven to be, you know, one of the most divisive issues with many different perspectives and opinions. In 2003, a first WHOIS task force, task forces which were the predecessors of a PDP working group, identified two questions that needed to be addressed, you know, how to improve data accuracy and avoid data abuse. This resulted in two GNSO consensus policies, which Steve also referred to in his presentation, and namely the WHOIS data reminder policy and the WHOIS marketing restriction policy. In 2007, another WHOIS task force was formed, and this one was tasked with defining the purpose of WHOIS and was asked to make recommendations about access, accuracy, and resolve the differences in applicable laws and regulations, a topic that's already being discussed as well in the chat, I've noted. However, in the end, the Council was unable to reach a consensus on the recommendations that the task force had put forward in relation to an operational point of contact, or OPOC, and instead decided that additional studies should first be undertaken to help inform the debate and confirm or negate a number of assumptions that had been made in relation to WHOIS. So these studies, which we now commonly refer to as the WHOIS studies, focused on a set of six separate studies that address questions in relation to issues such as misuse of WHOIS data, registrant identification, issues related to privacy and proxy, and relay and reveal, and accuracy. These studies were then followed by a policy review that was conducted by the WHOIS policy review team, which stemmed from the affirmation of commitments, and this review team was tasked to review the extent to which ICANN's WHOIS policy and implementation is effective and meets the legitimate needs of law enforcement and promotes consumer trust. So this review resulted in a final report in May 2012 and contained 16 recommendations on a range of topics which were adopted by the ICANN board and have or are in the process of being implemented by ICANN and the community. And on this page, you see a summary version of the topics to which these recommendations related. The Security and Stability Advisory Committee, or ASAC, took the WHOIS review team recommendations in 2012, and they conducted their own review of these recommendations. In their report, labeled SAC 55, they concluded that further work should be undertaken before the WHOIS review team recommendations were implemented, notably in relation to defining the purpose of domain name registration. They even recommended that all other activities directed at finding a solution should be halted until a new registration data policy would be developed and accepted. So based on these two pieces of input, the ASAC report and the WHOIS review team final report, the ICANN board decided to pursue a two-prong approach by focusing on the one hand on ways to enhance existing WHOIS policy, while on the other hand, focus on the consideration of a next-generation RDS by requesting the issue report and forming the expert working group. In addition to all the activities that have been mentioned so far, it's probably also worth calling out some of the ongoing activities that the working group is expected to factor into its deliberations, such as the 2013 Registration Accreditation Agreement, the WHOIS requirements contained in there, which are called out in a specific specification, and the new WHOIS Accuracy Reporting System, other WHOIS program improvements that have been introduced, such as a dedicated website at whois.icann.org, as well as a consolidated WHOIS lookup tool. Furthermore, there have been a number of other policy development processes that have tackled aspects of WHOIS, such as the SICWHOIS PDP, which is currently in the implementation phase, as is the translation and transliteration of contact information PDP. The PDP Working Group on Privacy and Proxy Services accreditation issues most recently finished its work, which is now expected to be considered by the ICANN board. Now that the GNSO Council has adopted these recommendations. And then there's also work that is ongoing, as I already pointed out in the chat, by an implementation advisory group, which is reviewing the implementation of the ICANN procedure for handling conflicts with local law. As appropriate, the working group is expected to review the outcomes of these other activities to ensure that there's no conflict between what has been recommended as a result of these other initiatives and the recommendations of this working group, or if there are, that these are recognized so that a solution can be found. So So in addition, as also noted during the last meeting, there are many other important contributions to the WHOIS policy debate that the working group is expected to review and consider as part of its deliberations, such as the input that has been provided by the Governmental Advisory Committee, or the GAC, in their communique, as well as the 2007 GAC principles regarding GTLD WHOIS services, input that has been provided by the Article 29 Data Protection Working Party in the form of letters that have been submitted to ICANN, other WHOIS studies that have been carried out, the RDAP standards, which already conversations around which have already started on the mailing list, as well as the extensible provisioning protocol, or the EPP standards. So to facilitate the working group's review of this information, staff has created a wiki page where we've tried to bring together all this information. And as we called upon you as well during the last meeting, if there's anything missing, please let us know and we'll make sure to update the page accordingly. So with that, I hand it over to Lisa to talk to you about the next generation GTLD registration directory service. Unless there are any questions. Sorry, going too fast. Michaela, go ahead.
I'm just going to state the obvious, but I assume these slides are going to be available somewhere afterwards, yes?
Yes, that's correct. The slides have already been circulated prior to the meeting, and they're also posted on the wiki space. And I believe they were just earlier posted as well in the chat here again.
Okay, thanks.
No further hands. Lisa, floor is yours.
Great. Thanks, Marika. And thanks for covering the community's history on this issue. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Lisa Pfeiffer. I'm an outside consultant on contract to ICANN, and I've been helping to support a number of the WHOIS activities in the past that Marika spoke about. Among other things, I helped to staff the expert working group on next generation GTLD registration directory services. And for the next maybe 10 minutes or so, I'm going to present a brief primer on the next generation RDS. And by that I mean a brand new policy framework and implementation to replace WHOIS. Now, the EWG was formed at the end of 2012, when the ICANN board considered the WHOIS review team's recommendations, as well as the SAC's findings in the Elephant and Blind Men report. At that time, the board issued a resolution that, as you all know, initiated this PDP. They did so recognizing the community's decade-long inability to reach consensus on WHOIS policy reform. As part of that, the board directed ICANN's CEO to launch a new and hopefully somewhat different effort to redefine the purpose of collecting, maintaining, and providing access to GTLD registration data, including, of course, safeguards to protect that data. The board's hope was that this new effort would be able to come together and build a strong foundation upon which the policy effort that you are currently embarked upon, as well as contracts, could be based. Furthermore, the board directed staff to prepare an issue report for this board-initiated GNSO PDP, and of course the end result is what you now see on this working group's wiki as the final issue report for this PDP. So when we refer to the next generation RDS, we do not mean a specific implementation. We do not mean a set of policies. Of course, those policies are what are still to be determined by this particular PDP. Instead, what we're referring to is really this entire effort to establish a new policy framework upon which to build a next-generation RDS, potentially to replace WHOIS. Now, in early 2013, at the CEO's request, this group came together, known as the Expert Working Group, but they were really a diverse group of volunteers. They came together as individuals to kind of brainstorm on this problem. They studied the board's request to reexamine and define the purpose of registration data for, I think Marika mentioned, 15 months. Boy, it felt longer. This group poured through background documents. They solicited new community inputs. They published a couple of draft reports. They collected and responded individually to public comments and then even conducted some new research. All this was to try to better understand the problem and then to suggest an approach that would somehow better address everyone's needs. Through weekly calls over actually dozens of face-to-face meetings, the group tried to look at WHOIS from really every angle, trying to appreciate the many different viewpoints that made it so difficult for the community to reach some kind of agreement on overall WHOIS policy reform. Ultimately, in June of 2014, the group recommended abandoning today's WHOIS model, where everyone has the same public access to registration data that is really too often incomplete, inaccurate, or just not useful for the purpose. In its place, the EWG recommended a brand new system built from the ground up to meet existing and future needs of the global internet community. In its final report, the EWG recommended a paradigm shift to a next-generation RDS that collects, validates, and discloses registration data, but does so for permissible purposes only. In this new paradigm, which is at a very high level illustrated on this slide, basic data would remain publicly available. It would be publicly available to satisfy many purposes that registration data is used for today and perhaps in the future. However, the rest of the data would be gated. Sometimes people refer to this as differentiated access. In the EWG's report, it was referred to as gated. And that means that it would be accessible only to accredited requesters who identify themselves, state their purpose, and then agree to be held accountable for using that data appropriately. As shown here, only the data that an authenticated user was actually authorized to access for the stated purpose would be obtained. It would be obtained by pulling data from the responsible GTLD registries and also some new ecosystem entities, including one shown here called the validators, would assist in making the data of higher quality. In reaching this conclusion, the EWG actually tried to strike a compromise, and acknowledging in its final report that the compromise wasn't perfect, and what they tried to do is balance everyone's interests and concerns. Moreover, the EWG really wasn't limited to just recommending changes to the existing WHOIS system. They did have the opportunity to try to take a fresh look at the problem, of course appreciating the history and the current system, and then envision a new system that might be able to address the needs that they saw. Now, to suggest this system, the EWG considered each of the stakeholders involved in GTLD directory services today and possibly in the future, examining some needs for accuracy, access, and privacy, and considering possible approaches that might meet those needs more effectively. Ultimately, the group's final report included 180 principles that encompass all of the areas that you see listed here. Ultimately, that group delivered its final report, those areas that you see listed here, you'll see a close resemblance to the questions to address in this PDP because they were intended as a foundation to help inform this PDP. For example, here on this slide, you see illustrated in a summary graphic how the EWG tried to answer the board's request to define the purpose of GTLD registration data. And in its final report, you'll find a definition for each of these purposes, along with a list of users that have those purposes, detailed list of tasks that might fall under those purposes, and associated data. You'll also find principles regarding why and how access to data elements for each purpose might be gated. And yes, it's not a new concept. What the group did is try to apply that concept to registration data. In that report, you'll also see how data and personal privacy might be protected, given consideration that this is a system to meet the needs of the entire global internet and thus is subject to national laws of each jurisdiction in which data might be accessed. You'll find principles for contact data validation and privacy and many other steps in the EWG's report. And finally, to examine how such a new system might work, the EWG did take a look at possible implementation models as well as associated costs. And it surveyed the ICANN community for input on potential risks and benefits of moving to a new system, such as the one outlined in its report. In cases where community viewpoints were especially diverse and very difficult to reconcile, the EWG also requested additional research to inform its recommendation. Now, I can't hope to cover the EWG's findings in this morning's brief tutorial. We can take a request to provide more information in a future tutorial if you'd like. But I'd encourage you to actually read the final report, along with a series of frequently asked questions and answers. There's also a detailed tutorial that was presented in June of 2014 when the final report was completed. There's a couple of top 10 question webinars, and there are also about half a dozen research reports which the group used to inform its final decisions. To agree upon principles, as suggested in its final report, the EWG members made many compromises. In the end, the group managed to reach consensus on all but one really very important and difficult principle. There was dissent on that principle, and you'll find that dissent along with the views expressed by several other individual EWG members also posted on your wiki. And those are informative reads to complement what you'll find in the final report. After considering the EWG's output, as Marika mentioned, the board reaffirmed its request for this PDP and requested that the EWG's output be used as a foundation from which the GNSO might develop new global policy. But you shouldn't view this as limiting the PDP working group's task at hand. As Marika explained, there are many, many other inputs available on this issue, and this working group's charter does call for community outreach to ensure that all perspectives are heard and used to inform your work. So let me pause here before I cover the questions to be addressed by this PDP. Are there any clarifying questions at this time? I note there's a request to categorize the principles. Actually, you'll find on the working group's wiki that there is a list of principles, and we can easily use that table as a mechanism to further categorize them, but they are grouped into each of the individual question areas already. All righty, seeing no hands raised, I'll continue. Given all these available inputs, including but not limited to the EWG's output, let's take a look at some of the specific questions that this PDP working group must address. As described in the final issue report and the charter that was approved by the GNSO Council, the task before this particular PDP working group is to attempt to reach consensus, first on some overarching questions that are given here. Now, as evident from this issue's very long history, this will not be an easy task. So GNSO counselors and the ICANN board came together informally and discussed how to structure this PDP. They came up with a process framework, which you've seen diagrams of. Here at the upper right corner of this slide, I show where that framework came from. What the group of counselors and board members did was look at typical software development life cycles and try to break down the work into three phases that could actually be used to then structure this process and hopefully come to consensus. Importantly, this framework asks that you begin with the fundamental requirements for GTLD registration data. As the ESSAC found in its report, it's very hard to agree upon policy if you don't first agree upon requirements. At a minimum, this PDP working group has been asked to reach consensus on users and purposes for registration data, associated access, accuracy, data element, and privacy requirements. This PDP may, of course, agree upon additional requirements, but these are the primary questions that were felt to be essential to answer before further progress can be made. Next, using those requirements, the PDP working group has been asked to try to reach consensus on whether a next-generation system is needed in order to actually satisfy those needs, those requirements. If so, the PDP working group must then consider, at minimum, requirements for coexistence, compliance, system modeling, cost, benefit, and risk analysis. Again, these are felt to be cross-cutting requirements that really apply to any new system, and establishing requirements in these areas is essential to reach consensus. Finally, if the working group finds that the current WHOIS policy framework can, in fact, meet these agreed requirements for registration data, the PDP working group must explain how it can do so. It's not enough to establish requirements without deciding how to go forward in this issue. On this slide, we've listed the minimum set of 11 questions to be considered as part of this working group's deliberations. It's easy to see that the questions are really very closely related. Your answers on purpose will be influenced by, for example, requirements associated with protecting data and personal privacy. As been noted in the chat, there are certainly questions of applicable national law and how those requirements will be addressed. Of course, those requirements must be put in the context of GTLD registration data and the specific data elements that must be collected, maintained, and accessed through any system, whether it's WHOIS or the RDS. For data to be useful, it must be accurate, at least to the extent required for a given purpose, and so on. In a one-hour tutorial, of course, we can't hope to drill into all these questions in detail. For today's tutorial, we'll just start with the first and arguably the most difficult question, which is who should have access to GTLD registration data and for what purpose? This slide, which is drawn from the board's approved process framework intended to guide this PDP, demonstrates how the question of users and purposes might be approached in three separate phases. During your first phase, the most fundamental question to be answered is whether GTLD registration data should continue to be accessible for any purpose, as it is in today's WHOIS. If the working group should reach consensus that registration data should only be accessible for specific purposes, then it must recommend the users and purposes of the system that the system should be designed to support, and why it must support those users and purposes. Having forged a consensus on this very difficult first question, the working group will have created its own foundation to help answer that big overarching question of whether a brand new policy framework is actually needed to meet those requirements. If the PDP working group finds that a new policy framework is in fact needed and the GNSO Council agrees, the PDP would then continue on to phase two, drafting specific policies to support the requirements in phase one. For example, you might identify policies for data element collection, collecting data that's required for some of the permissible purposes, and the conditions under which that data would be made accessible through the RDS. This is just one example of a policy that might emerge from phase two. Finally, in phase three, the policy working group, or PDP working group, would test its policy recommendations by actually looking at possible implementations and considering whether there's any implementation or coexistence guidance that might be applied as part of this PDP process. Looking at that may actually require the working group to take another look at those phase two policies and kind of refine the policies until all the answers seem to be workable. Now, in a future tutorial, if you wish, we can cover in greater detail each of the questions to be answered by this PDP. Today, we hope to just give you a good starting point to do some of your own reading and homework, and in particular to help you sort through the very large number of inputs and identify those that are most relevant to each question. You'll find on your wiki a list of questions and hyperlinked tables to key inputs. Shown here is the table for the users and purposes question, but there are similar tables for other questions. These tables are drawn from the final issue report, and you can, of course, expand these as the working group begins to examine each question and finds that there are additional key inputs. However, we do hope that you'll find this useful as a guide to start exploring each question. For example, on the question of users and purposes, we point you to Section 3 of the EWG's final report. That Section 3 is also backed up by an annex on use cases that illustrates some of the purposes identified in that report. You can learn more about EWG principles in their tutorials and facts, and in individual statements, of course, made by members. However, the question here, purposes and users, is certainly not a new one, and it has been the subject of many, many efforts that Marika outlined earlier, including WHOIS task forces, policy review team reports, Article 29 working party letters, GAC communiques, and of course the SX report. You're encouraged to review all of these inputs to better understand the history as well as the diverse community views that exist on how to answer this question. With that, I'll turn things over to Marika to wrap up and give you links for further more information.
Thank you very much, Lisa. Are there any questions in relation to the information that Lisa presented on the EWG and the RDS? I guess you already noted as well, you know, there may at some point be a need to go into more depth in some of the findings and information in that report, but here we just wanted to already give you a snapshot of what is contained in there. Not seeing any hands. And just briefly moving on to, you know, where can you find more information? As we've noted, there's a wealth of information available on this topic, and we've tried to do our best to gather the information in the most logical way possible. So all the information we've referred to during this meeting can be found on the working group wiki space. There's a working group charter. There are questions mapped to key inputs, background documents, additional key inputs, as well as a section that list the comments that have been received on the issue report. As I've noted before, if there's any information you believe is missing, if there's any way in which we can make this information more accessible, if there are any specific topics you think we should hold further tutorials on, please let us know. We really want to make sure that, you know, everyone has an opportunity to review and understand this information. We know that it's a lot to digest. But as we've noted as well, it's really key for your participation in the working group that you have reviewed this information, as it will come back in various questions and discussions that the working group will have. So I think with that, we get to our questions and answers section. We've already tried to answer some of the questions that you've posted in the chat. As noted as well, some of these questions will obviously come back in the working group deliberations as you start tackling the charter questions, as well as start thinking about your work plan. But at this stage, I want to give you the opportunity, if there are any questions you have, you know, about anything we've raised in the presentation, to raise those now. Not seeing any hands. And of course, if any questions come up after the presentation, feel free to either post those on the list or send those to us privately, and we'll do our best to answer those. So I think with that, we actually may be able to wrap up this call a bit sooner than originally anticipated. For the next meeting, we would like to suggest to keep on the current schedule of 1600 UTC. So the next meeting would be Tuesday, the 9th of February at 1600 UTC. Again, noting that once the leadership team is in place, they're expected to review the membership spread across the different time zones and recommend a possible rotation in the form of one meeting out of four, taking place in a different time zone that it's more convenient for those participants in Asia-Pacific locations to the working group. But at this stage, we suggest to stick with the current schedule until the leadership team can take a decision on that aspect. Also, as a reminder, again, on the action items, please make sure to update your statement of interest. You can look forward to receiving a poll from staff later today and as well later in the week in relation to the leadership conversation. And please keep the conversation going on the list on that aspect and any other topics you think are already worth considering. One of the next items that the working group is expected to tackle is to look at requesting early input from the GNSO stakeholder groups and constituencies, as well as other ICANN supporting organizations and advisory committees, as well as looking at the work plan to tackle this the topics. So not seeing any further hands, I'm going to give you 29 minutes of your time back. I would like to thank you all for your participation. I'd especially like to thank Lisa for all the hard work she's put in the slides and the presentation, as well as Steve for joining us today and assisting us in this effort. So with that, thank you very much, and look forward to seeing you all next week.
Thank you. Once again, the meeting has adjourned. Please remember to disconnect all remaining lines and have a wonderful rest of your day.